This week, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd delivered his second annual report on closing the gap, on the progress made in reducing the difference between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians in six key areas relating to health, education and employment. But there's another glaring gap for which no targets have been set: the gap in imprisonment rates, particularly the imprisonment of juveniles. Indigenous kids are 28 times more likely to be incarcerated than their non-Indigenous counterparts. What's worse, that gap has been getting progressively wider. This issue has grabbed the attention of a parliamentary inquiry. Dr. Kelly Richards is a research analyst with the Australian Institute of Criminology, and she's just given evidence to that inquiry about the nature of the problem. Kelly Richards, welcome to ABC Radio National.
Thank you very much.
What do the statistics tell us?
Well, the statistics show us that, as you said, Indigenous juveniles are pretty dramatically overrepresented, particularly in detention across Australia. That varies across the jurisdictions, but we do know that Indigenous juveniles are currently 28 times more likely than non-Indigenous juveniles to be incarcerated.
It's an appalling statistic, isn't it? And to put it another way, I think 58% of all the juveniles who are currently locked up are Indigenous.
That's correct, yeah.
Whereas the proportion of the population who are Indigenous is what?
It is much, much lower. For young people, probably around 4%.
My understanding is also that this rate is getting worse.
That's correct. So our data date back to 1994, and we can see over that time that there has been a steady increase in that rate of overrepresentation.
A slow increase or a sharp rise?
No, I'd call it a quite a gradual increase.
And why is that gap getting bigger?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. We have a number of ideas. We have a number of potential explanations for that. We know, in addition to the fact that Indigenous kids are overrepresented in jail, that they're overrepresented in terms of their contact with the police. And that's really important because that shows us that Indigenous young people are coming into contact with the criminal justice system at that level and they're already overrepresented there. Again, that varies across the jurisdictions, but in some instances, you know, Indigenous juveniles are vastly overrepresented in their contact with police.
And obviously the contact with police is the first entry point into the criminal justice system.
Exactly. So there's a few potential issues there. One of those could be over-policing. It stands to reason that if there are more police per capita in, you know, in a remote community, for example, with a high Indigenous population, that Indigenous young people are therefore more likely to be picked up by the police.
Well, and also if we think about the Northern Territory intervention, part of the major push with that intervention has been to improve law and order, which means having more police on the beat in remote communities, and that, of course, results then in more contacts.
Yeah, yep, of course. So that's one potential issue. You know, there's another few potential explanatory factors. One of those is access to justice. So we know, for example, that in remote areas, young people might not have access to diversionary programs.
What do you mean by diversionary programs?
Well, they might not have access to things like youth justice conferencing or, you know, the sorts of educational and leisure activities that young people might be diverted to in a more metropolitan area.
So rather than ending up in court, you end up some kind of activity program or learning program, that
exactly,
sort of thing.
Exactly. Whereas courts will go to the people. So in some of these remote locations, the court will travel to hear cases, but the other diversionary stuff simply doesn't exist in some instances for those young people.
And you can't move a program like that so easily. A court can come and sit for a few days and go away again, but you can't move an ongoing training program so easily.
Exactly. I think there is some scope for those sorts of programs to expand, and that's an area that we really need to focus on. Another issue too, I think, is around young people's visibility. So we know that young people, in comparison with adults, are much more likely to come to the attention of the police for a variety of reasons. They do things like they commit offences in big groups, they commit offences that are very public. For example, they might commit an offence on public transport or in a shopping centre, and they tend to commit offences close to their home, so they don't travel too far to commit offences. And they tend to commit offences that are attention-seeking in nature. And so young people as a whole are much more likely to come to the police's attention. When you add in the visibility that Indigenous young people have, and particularly that Indigenous people can have, you know, that sort of outdoor type of culture, in many ways it's unsurprising that those kids are coming to the attention of police.
What about, I mean, the old-fashioned thing of bias or perhaps even racism?
Look, that's another possibility that's been discussed at length. I don't have any data to directly support that.
Pretty difficult thing to measure, I guess.
Yeah, it is a difficult thing to measure, although certainly it's something that I think should still be on the agenda and that, you know, a piece of research or some more discussion around that would certainly be valid.
Well, one of the things we pointed out at the start is that Indigenous kids are much more likely to come into contact with police, are much more likely to end up locked up. But they also tend to do so at younger ages than non-Indigenous children. Now, why is that?
Well, that's another good question. Look, I mean, I think many of those things that I mentioned about visibility, about, you know, having an outdoor culture, you know, all of those things mean that, you know, young people are out on the street more likely to come to police attention. But in terms of a firmer answer, I mean, I think that's something else that requires further research.
This is The National Interest on ABC Radio National. I'm speaking to Dr. Kelly Richards from the Australian Institute of Criminology about the high rate of incarceration of Indigenous juveniles, far higher than for the rest of the population. Now, Kelly Richards, the Institute for Criminology, where you work, gives awards to some programs that aim to reduce offending, diversionary programs, as they're called, that help keep kids out of the court and out of prison. Can you give some examples of what's working in that area?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Australian Crime and Violence Prevention Awards are handed out annually, often to the police, but there are other categories. And we try to reward programs that look like they're good practice. So these are not always, you know, based on research. They're normally sort of very innovative programs that have just come about locally. But what we try to do is assess those against what we think is effective practice. So, for example, programs where police work in collaboration with the community, we know that that's a best practice principle. And we know that police working with the community, with Indigenous leaders, you know, getting the kids involved, for example, through PCYC-type activities.
Police youth clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that that those sorts of programs can be really effective. They can be effective in the immediate term, but they could also have a really positive long-term consequence whereby there is increased trust on the part of young people in the community, in the police and the criminal justice system. And we know that communities that trust their police force and their criminal justice system are communities with lower rates of crime.
There's also an emphasis often on getting kids into some kind of education. I think one of the groups that received a prize was in Western Australia and focused on diverting young people who came in contact with the police into programs that would increase their numeracy, their literacy, and perhaps offer trade skills and the like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know those sorts of things set young people up for success later in life. So those sorts of things that, you know, that increase young people's communication skills and their trade skills, get them interested in education. Yeah, all of those things we know are really positive. A couple of the other programs that we've given awards to in the past are programs that have very structured timeframes for young people. And this is really important because for a young person who goes through the court system, they might wait for 3 months or 6 months or longer to be heard by a magistrate. And in a young person's life, 6 months is just an eternity. And so there's a breakdown between the young person's offending behaviour and the consequences of that offending behaviour. So some of the programs that we've tried to highlight as good practice have very short timeframes. So they have a commitment to responding to a young person's offending within 48 hours, for example.
So the action and the consequences are much closer together.
Exactly, and we know that that's good, effective practice.
But as you pointed out at the beginning, one of the problems is that Indigenous kids are much less likely to get into this type of diversionary program than are kids from other backgrounds.
Mm, That's correct. And we're not entirely sure why that is. That's something that we need to do more research on. We do know that it isn't because they have more serious offending profiles, although that's an argument that's been made consistently.
So it's not because they've committed more serious offences necessarily?
Look, we don't think so, because a number of pieces of research that the AIC have published over the last couple of years have applied sophisticated statistical analyses to looking at exactly that problem. And what they've done is they've controlled for the young person's offending history or their offence type, and they still show that Indigenous kids are less likely to end up in these programs.
And so perhaps one thing might just be more funding.
Absolutely. Well, you know, more funding is the answer that we always give. But again, I think it goes back at least partly to that access to justice question.
Kelly Richards, thank you very much for joining me in the National Interest.
Thank you.